Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Davidus Cigars, Westminster, Maryland, USA. The only Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge in the state of Maryland. I am your host, Johnny Midas.
And I am El Fumo.
And we are smoking and drinking. We got the Brick House Bricktoberfest Special Edition Pigtail. A beautiful cigar. And we are going to smoke this while drinking Sam Adams Oktoberfest, which is a pretty common seasonal beer.
Yeah, popular around here.
Popular around here. We are going to talk about pairing beer and cigars.
That's right.
So, between the two of us, I think beer is the hardest to pair with cigars.
Yeah.
I think it's harder than wine, harder than tea, harder than alcohol.
Hell, you compare soda with cigars.
I think soda is easier to pair with cigars than
beer. And we're not the only ones with this issue. Like, seriously. This is really...
It's challenging. Yeah. Which is, I don't know.
It's weird.
Why? But anyway. Yeah. All right, so we always, you know, appropriately admire the cigar, you know, before we cut it and light it. And as far as the presentation goes, the traditional Brick House packaging, you know, it's not like special and fancy. No. This is a budget cigar. Like, Brick House is the affordable brand. We'll talk a little bit about Newman's portfolio.
I would say the only thing different is literally the German-esque traditional text. That's literally it.
Yeah. So,
that's all you're getting.
Good-looking box, but not fancy. And then the cigar is just gorgeous. This is a natural wrapper, and it looks good in or out of the cello. The cello doesn't, you know, unless it's under a shiny light. But this is a really, really beautiful wrapper. There is, if you look at it carefully, there's a very fine tooth to it. You know, not super obvious, but it is toothy and matte. You can see the oil trying to come out, but it is a matte, oily color for the most part. Love the bands.
I like it, yeah.
Yeah, love the bands. All right, and this is a cigar show, so why don't we go ahead and get these cut and lit.
Yes.
For the official cutting, I am using my Craftsman's Bench.
It's always Craftsman's
open-ended
Bench.
Double guillotine. You've got the same thing.
Hashtag which, not sponsored.
Hey, pigtail. I also have my Drew Estate close-ended double guillotine, which I did not pull out of the bag because hashtag pigtail.
Right.
So, good news with an open end, it will cut anything. You might like that V cut. You might like that close-ended because you get the perfect cut. You might like that punch. But you can't cut anything with an open and double gate.
Right.
So that's what we're using.
The official cutting is brought to you by Fat Boy Cigars. The bold and delicious flavors of premium hand-selected tobacco leaves are highlighted in the original Jack's Cigar by Fat Boy Cigars. And don't forget to try the Fat Boy Cigars Boots on the Ground series. For every cigar purchase in this series, Fat Boy Cigars will donate $1 to charities, benefiting our frontline heroes. Fat Boy Cigars, welcome to the Fat Boy's world.
And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority, no limp-wristed cutting allowed, not on Burn Line Podcast. No. And we encourage you to perform a vigorous hand job after clipping your cigar to get all of that loose tobacco and dottle out of the part that goes into your mouth. And what was really cool, I was wearing my murder gloves the other week and doing this tap. You can see the dust very easily on that shiny black.
Yeah, you can't see it on your actual flush.
Yeah, because it's the same color. You know, you're a little darker than I am, but I'm fairly tan. I'm the color of a lot of tobacco, and it just blends in, you know. All right, that is pretty good, and it is time for our official lighting. And I will be lighting with my ST DuPont Double Flame Flat Flame Butane Torch. And
I have a surprise.
All right, what do you got?
It's not really a surprise or anything crazy, but the old handy dandy.
Vertigo Quad Flame.
Let's go. The one that we talk about all the time, but we don't show.
Yeah, it has a name. I can't remember what the name is. Is it on there?
No, it's just Vertigo.
And it has a little
flip. Like Helix or something?
It has a little punch that comes out in the bottom.
Yeah, it's like spring-loaded.
Not a flip out, but a spring-loaded one.
Yep.
Big wheel to adjust. Yeah, that is my favorite.
Like
that is my favorite lighter for utility.
Yeah.
This is my favorite lighter for ego.
Yeah.
But for utility, it's that one.
Yeah. It's not a punch guy, so it's like, eh.
The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us.
As I lift off to space...
And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor.
You know, this show, with this episode alone, could get canceled in so many ways.
Why is that?
It's just a German episode.
Oh, my God. Nine.
I'll just leave it at that.
All right, so let's talk about this cigar. Now that we're letting it... burn so that we can experience it, because we have to talk about it.
It smells so good.
What are we actually smoking? So this is the Brickhouse Bricktoberfest limited edition Pigtail Natural from JC Newman Cigar Company.
Ow.
Nice. Here.
Oh, thanks, sir.
Fact sheet. Most of my shit is on my phone.
Yeah.
And let's just go over this real quick so that we can move forward with the show with everybody on the same page. So this is a 6x52 Toro. It is a Nicaraguan Puro. It retails for $13.19 here at Davidoff Cigars in Westminster, while a box of 10 will cost you $177.99, a savings of $13.11, which is like getting a free cigar. It is advertised as a Nicaraguan Puro wrapper, binder, filler. I have it on slightly inside authority, so not from the company official website.
Right.
So take it with a grain of salt that the wrapper is from Jalapa. Not sure about the binder, and the filler has Condega and Esteli in it. So that's a big deal to cigar nerds, because those are very, very different regions.
Yeah.
An Esteli wrapper is going to taste a lot different from a Jalapa wrapper. By the way, this is why Perdomo is famous. No, it's that they have produced affordable cigars that are pretty damn good from some very tough soil conditions. Of course, they've been practicing for years. That helps. But your Esteli soil, particularly their section, grows some pretty fucking spicy tobacco, you know. They really have to pay attention to the fermentation process and everything to tame it, calm it down. All right, so that is what this is. And we talked about last week, we are going to rank body, flavor, and strength on cigars going forward, because we've always been doing it, and we're just going to make it a thing.
Yep.
So here's the deal. At participating retailers, which Davidoff is a participating retailer, buy 7 Bricktoberfest cigars and get a free stein. This is a hand-painted ceramic stein. This is not plastic. This is not like the Gaston mug that I got at Gaston's Tavern in Disney World. This is an actual stein.
Oh, damn, you should have brought that along.
Yeah. It's got the J.C. Newman trademark. This is a gorgeous stein.
It doesn't say where it's made, though.
No, it doesn't. I can tell you where, but I won't on the air. But anyway, that's a fucking good deal. So $13 for a special edition is pretty good these days.
The detail on it's pretty dope.
But you get 7 of them, and you get a free stein. So they do this every year. J.C. Newman has this promotion every year. They had 2 of the glass boots, worst design ever. Don't know who came up with that one, but maybe one. It's just like... So, don't take this in the wrong way, but, like, old white people, especially from the Midwest, they like this kitschy stuff that they collect, like a glass boot. to drink out of.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That generation's gone. They're not buying cigars. The younger generation, we buy Swedish furniture and German cars. You know what I mean? You know, look at, like, the new Hyundais.
Yeah, dude.
They're fucking gorgeous. Like, they look like if a Swedish car and a German car had a vigorous fuck, out came this Palisade or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Right.
That's the style. And so this is cool, because this is, like, you know, more authentic, traditional, actual beer mug, not something kitschy.
Yeah.
You know?
One day your grandkids will be asking, where'd you get that?
Yeah, yeah. So, cool, good move on their part, I thought. Now, last year it was a lager glass. I got two of those.
Yeah.
That was a great collectible.
It was a nice one.
I liked that one, too. So that's the promotion, and we have got these Bricktoberfest steins, and we will be drinking the beers out of them. But a little bit about the Bricktoberfest cigar. So this is an annual, and what is this, the 7th, 8th?
7th or 8th.
Annual. And there are 4 Bricktoberfest cigars for 2024. So you have the Bricktoberfest Natural, the Bricktoberfest Double Connecticut.
7th.
7th. Bricktoberfest Maduro, and the Bricktoberfest Limited Edition Pigtail, which is what we are smoking. Actually, I think we smoked this last year on the podcast, and I don't know if these are different from last year's.
I'm not sure.
They're basically the same thing. But last year's was so good, I was like, I hope it's the same. But we're about to find out. So that is what we are smoking today. J.C. Newman, Brick House, Bricktoberfest, Limited Edition, Pigtail. And again, this is a 6x52 Turo. It is a Nicaraguan Puro with a advertised natural wrapper. A single is $13.19 here at Davita Cigars in Westminster. Well, a box of 10 is $177.99, which is a savings of about 10%. So we've got a quarter inch in Mr. Fumo. By the way, nice camera stand.
Thanks.
I've got some booms coming, some decent ones to put the cameras on.
Yeah.
That'll get the right angle for what we're doing. But give me some initial tasting notes.
Yeah. So I'm getting a lot of, like, spices. Not spicy stuff, like spices. There's a tingle in the back of the throat, too. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know if you're picking up on that or not.
My palate is a little off, I'm not going to lie. I've been coughing. So I got that phlegm taste.
Yeah.
Changes some stuff. I do have some water here to cleanse my palate. I'll tell you what I'm getting. I'm getting leather, a very light pepper,
yep,
and squash vegetal.
Squash, okay. That might be that bitter. I'm getting slight note of cedar, just a very slight one.
Yes, that's there as well. Yeah. So, you know, like, if you've ever gone to pick pumpkins or butternut squash or something like that, not summer squash. Like zucchini and those that have that light viney morning glory flavor. No, but you know how the leaves smell on fall and winter squash? That type of vegetal, that's the slight bitter that I would describe. And then, there's a handful of like that baking rack spice that's like cloves and allspice and, you know, like stuff you maybe put in breads and desserts type of thing. But it's faint and hard to pick out.
Yeah.
Nothing stands out.
Yeah,
there is.
At least.
Are you getting just a touch of anise, though?
Maybe that's that weird tingly?
Could be.
Okay.
But just a little bit like star anise. You know, that slightly licorice flavor. Really good, actually. I like the flavor on this. It tastes like a fall edition of something. It really does have kind
of pumpkin spice, damn it.
Fuck pumpkin spice. Okay, so this is a beer, and we're going to talk about beers and cigars on this show, right? Mm-hmm. I picked up a beer the other day, and I should have known because it was Voodoo Ranger, and I'm not shitting on anybody, but Voodoo Ranger makes some atrocious shit, and it was called, like, Atomic Pumpkin, and that was the pumpkin spice latte of beers. It was ghastly. Like, it made me want to commit suicide. This is a plea for help. Please send help. Do you think YouTube censors that word?
Maybe.
Fuck. We're fucked. Which brings us to socials and surprises.
Yes.
So, speaking of, guess what we've got? This is a care package.
Mail call.
Mail call from O2C Premium Coffee, and bada bing, bada fucking boom. We've got more of our 6-bean mala, Mexican, which we are enjoying today.
Yes.
And African espresso shot. I can't wait to drink the shit.
You have your Nespresso at work, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to try it tomorrow.
No, I don't. I brought that home.
Oh, damn it.
I'll bring it to work.
Yeah.
We totally have to do that. Yeah. Thank you, 2C Premium Coffee. You know, they have been a sponsor of this show for a while now.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I decided to do from the start was I am not going to sacrifice the future that I want for the show for money.
Yep.
And so we only sponsor with products that I actually use or would use. For example, if it's a wine company, I might love their wine, but I don't buy that much. You know, that's okay. I am a coffee snob.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you right now, there are good coffees that don't rise to my level. You know, love you, Black Rifle Coffee Company, but it doesn't quite reach the bar.
I agree. Dude,
2C Premium is a premium coffee, yeah. And it is affordable. For a premium coffee, it's a great deal. So we appreciate the re-up. Teresa, thank you. Family-owned local company,
right,
that's killing it.
Not a private equity, not some huge conglomerate.
Well, and, you know, they don't brag, but,
no.
You know, Teresa's a mom with two kids who help her with the business, and she's killing it. Like,
yeah,
she has awards and shit.
Yeah.
Well-recognized, and she should. But, you know, like, great example to everybody of someone that said, you know what, I'm going to fucking win this game of life, and is. But that's not why we partner with them. We partner with them because it's fucking awesome coffee.
Yeah.
And if you like coffee and cigars, this is a great coffee. And I don't think I ever saw you. And even when you bring your coffee to work, it's got creamer in it.
Yeah.
This is like the only coffee.
This is the first and only coffee I drink straight black. Well, not the only anymore, but it was the very first I drank straight black. No sugar, not even a little sweet.
Yeah, like it's so sweet.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I dare you to drink Starbucks actual coffee black. Good luck and have fun.
Oh, my God. It's so over roasted. They're hiding all... Well, I got a whole story there. I was neighbors with an import facility that imported the beans for Starbucks. And I can tell you stories. Like,
I know some stuff. Yeah.
It's what...
And now our coffee podcast coming soon.
Add that to the portfolio. anyway, where were we? Yes, mail call and socials and surprises. So...
Mm-hmm.
You are our marketing plan. We were just talking about getting censored. So the biggest and oldest cigar podcast in the world was recently complaining that they got a one-week timeout from YouTube, and it's their first strike, and if they get three within a certain period of time, they're done permanently.
That's such a shame.
Yeah, like, so they're getting picked on. And I guess I'll tell you. I'll tell the audience because we're not hiding anything, but... Cigar Authority is the podcast.
We know. Hey,
if you do cigar podcasts, you probably know that one. But we're going to do an episode in a couple of weeks with cigar podcasts, pros and cons, you know, or educational. So I don't want to let, you know, I don't want to double dip, you know, and get into that. But these guys are fucking huge.
Yeah.
I mean, huge. You know, like...
They're not out there spewing
Bill Burr on the Bill Burr on the show, huge, you know. New England Cigar Expo, huge. If they get fucked, we get fucked even more.
Right.
We're tiny. So you are our marketing plan. Like, share, subscribe, comment, everything you can to interact. If you think we add value to the community, and most of all, reach out to us. Burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. And we will... use your email to possibly do a topic, a tobacconist tip of the week. We might read it on air.
Yeah.
If you don't want us to, be sure to let us know. And we frequently send out surprises to people that email us. So, you know, you could also be a lucky winner. So please reach out, interact. This is your show, and we want it to be your show.
Yep.
So... that is where we are now. As far as subscribers and all that stuff, nothing nothing really new. Good activity. Yeah, online.
Just a shit ton of views on the Facebook side, just not interactions. Like a shit ton of views. Like
it just
keeps going up week over week.
Yeah, Insta's doing pretty good. Yeah, we would like the interaction. I know a lot of cigar people, they're just not. Like, a lot of cigar people are, you know, stoic.
Sit back, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a very mellow.
If you go through on the Facebook for all the major, like, cigar companies, like, dude, they're barely getting 30 reactions to posts.
Oh, yeah. Even fucking cigar manufacturers.
Yeah.
If this was, like, a reaction content YouTube, you know, then everyone is like incensed and inflamed and they're all, I have to comment, you know.
Yeah.
We're not like that. So we're asking you, help get the word out. All right. So that is a great introduction to the show today. And we are smoking the J.C. Newman Brick House Bricktoberfest limited edition pigtail.
Mm-hmm.
Natural Nicaraguan Puro. And we gave some tasting notes. Mine is a little harsher, I think, than normally would be, because I've been coughing. I have a sore throat. You can probably hear that my voice is a little lower on the register today.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to assume that that feeling of harshness is not from the cigar. If I'm wrong, you'll have to let the audience know. And we got some other goodies up here. Of course, we have our 2C Premium Coffee. We've got the box up there. But we also have two more seasonals from Davis Cigars in Westminster. So this is the Filthy Gooligan, which we talked about last week.
Yep.
It is available on the shelf for $14.99.
Let me Vanna White right here real quick.
By the way, a box is $336.99, which is a savings of $37.76. So, you know, that's more than two free cigars.
Yep.
If you get the box price. And then, of course, we have the Wolfman Monster Redux from Tatuaje. And that retails for $14.19, while the box will set you back $165.99, a savings of $18.42, more than one full free stick. And these are also, like, you know, Halloween-y, holiday-themed cigars.
Yeah, Halloween-themed.
And there's one more up there that
we're
not going to talk about because it's Deadwood and it's flavored, and we just don't do those on the show. But if you're into that sort of thing, if you like the... what is it? Sweet Jane and Fat Bottom Betty.
Yeah.
There is one of those, and it is pumpkin spice flavored. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Probably crack these open before they get too warm.
Yeah. Why don't we go ahead and pour these beers, and let's see if they go with the cigar. You know, there's definitely Oh, I figured out what it was. The nuttiness on this is hazelnut.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Good job. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's hazelnut. So... it's definitely got a nutty.
Hey, look at that.
It's got a leathery.
It says cheers.
Cheers.
Okay. Wasn't sure if it was different.
All right. Let's get these poured into our brand new Steins.
Stein.
I guess it would be Steen if you were pronouncing it correctly.
All right.
Prost. Prost. Do you know any German, like, drinking songs?
Nine.
You know nine of them?
Nine. That's right.
That's not bad.
That actually tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
I normally don't go out of my way to buy that, but...
That is pretty good.
Oh,
wow. I wonder what they're trying to make it taste like.
Wow. Is it the same one every year?
I think so.
Malt brings so much to your beer.
It's definitely not pumpkin flavor, but it is fall flavor.
It just says malt.
Yeah. Malt beer. All right. So why don't we got our beer, we got our cigar, we laid the groundwork for the episode. Why don't we go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we will do our tobacconist tip of the week.
Sounds good to me.
Don't go away.
And now your tobacconist tip of the week. With Angel Solorio.
So you ever just smoking a cigar, walking down the street, or just relaxing somewhere? Stranger approaches you. What do? Take a big old drag and just puff in her face to get them to get away from you. No, actually, that's not what you do, because more than likely, hopefully, the positive interaction is like, hey, what are you doing? What are you smoking there? What's going on there? You know, so Try to be as polite as possible while smoking your cigar. Try not to puff on it while you're talking to them. You know, especially don't puff on your face.
Yeah, yeah. The general etiquette rule is if you're smoking a cigar and somebody, you know, a stranger approaches you, you don't smoke without their permission. That's the etiquette. And so, you know, if they strike up a convo with you and you have a cigar, it might be, hey, can you tell me how to get to the gas station?
Yeah.
You know, hold your cigar down and away. You don't know. They might, first of all, they might be misinformed about the health benefits of tobacco. But they might, you know, have a really bad response to it.
Yeah.
Right? And you can help them and they'll go on the way. But it might turn into a convo. At which point you can say, do you mind if I continue smoking?
Yeah.
And there's a good chance they're like, well, hell yeah, that's why I'm talking.
Yep.
And the cigar.
The other thing is, it's like, I don't like doing it even to other fellow smokers. Like, when my smoke starts hitting their face, I'm like, you know, trying to pull my cigar all the way out here.
No, I'll sit in the lounge. I'll be in the lounge, and it's like 12 people deep, and fucking, you can't see. And the guy next to me is like, oh, I'm so sorry. My smoke is blowing in your face. I'll be like, dude, you know, like, I'm in a sea of smoke. But it is the normal etiquette.
Yeah.
Great tobacconist tip of the week. As usual, we're big on etiquette and treating people well. You're an ambassador, whether you want to be or not.
Right.
And if you don't like to be, then fucking go smoke by yourself. That is okay.
This is a gentlemanly podcast.
This is why I have a back porch with a privacy fence, so I can say fuck you to the world and just enjoy my stuff.
Except the squirrels, they don't give a shit about your privacy fence.
Apparently neither does the wife. Like, we had a whole conversation about, I need personal space, this is it. If you see me here, this is my zen spot. Do not enter.
Yeah.
Do not pass go, do not collect $200. And that lasted like 7 minutes. And then I was like, do you mind if I sit with you? Well, I can't say yes, but you set me up to fail because the answer is yes.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't tell you that.
Right.
You know? Do you not remember the conversation that we had? What's the happiest animal in the world?
Yeah.
A goldfish.
Stop it.
Thank you, Ted Lasso. All right, so what do you think about... Give me some tasting notes on the cigar and the beer and how they go together.
Let's try this. I don't really notice much of a difference, honestly. This is such a light beer.
Yeah, I think they go well together. I do think the beer brings out a little bit of like a musty note in the cigar that I wasn't noticing before, but now I'm getting that like
on damp, the cheeks?
Yeah, like that damp hay. Oh, more on the retrovale.
Okay.
But like damp hay up in the rafters of the barn kind of thing. Again, hazelnut, leather, light pepper, baking spices.
A little bit.
And then for the beer... Hard to, I mean, it's nutty.
Yeah, the beer to me is like crazy light.
It's got a full flavor. It's playing on all the parts of the taste buds, but it is very light.
Yeah.
A
little weedy.
Yeah, a little bit. It's pretty good. So, let's talk about...
Yeah, good job, Sam Adams.
Beer and cigars. Yeah, it is. You know, I know Sam Adams isn't a, you know, they're not a boutique anymore.
No.
Like they're mainstream, but they're putting out good stuff. All right, and then before we jump into pairing beers and cigars, a little bit about this cigar. Body, I'm putting the body at mild to mid.
Yeah, more mild for me, honestly.
Yeah, I think so. The strength is probably a 4.
Yeah.
Maybe a 3 to 4.
On a 10 or 5?
Yeah, on a scale of 10.
Yeah, this is very crazy light. It's not hateful at all.
Yeah, and then flavor, of course, we have simple, mid, or complex. Simple is you have one note through the whole cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Mid is you have several notes throughout the whole cigar. And then complex is the notes are changing throughout the cigar. There's several notes that change. We won't know until we smoke it down. Right now, I'd put it mid. There's definitely more than one or two flavors.
Right.
But it also hasn't changed.
For me, I'm in the second third right now. That bitterness kind of went away from me.
Oh, okay. Good.
So I don't know. Actually, now that I think about it, I don't know if that's the beer killing the bitter.
Maybe because the beer is more bitter. So now you like can't notice it on the cigar.
Maybe.
Although it's not a bitter beer, but you know, all beer has a natural little.
Right.
Little
bit. It's acidic.
Yeah. And of course, J.C. Newman There is some controversy over this, but they are the oldest American cigar company. If you don't know, for our listeners out there, they've been rolling cigars since 1895 in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah.
Jesus, something good came out of Cleveland.
Yeah, what did we talk about? We did a J.C. Newman not that long ago. What was it? Julius Caesar?
The Julius Caesar.
Yep.
Newman also produces the Craftsman's Bench Cutter, which we both use, available for $29.99 here at Davidoff Cigars. This is a great all-metal construction, sharp, holds its edge, open-ended double guillotine, which is the most versatile type of cutter out there. I know guys that fucking swear by their deep V-cut,
stop
by Calibri, good for you, etc. But, as we mentioned with Pigtail on this show, hey, you can cut fucking anything with an open-ended double guillotine. Popular Newman brands include the Diamond Crown, the Julius Caesar, which we smoked on this show, and, of course, the Brick House, which is a cost-friendly option. So the Brick House cigars are like the affordable J.C. Newmans.
Yeah.
And they range in price from like $7 to $14,
yep.
And but most of them are in the $10 range.
Yeah.
So
still not terrible in this economy.
No, no. They're a good value, and you get a lot of tobacco for them. All right, so pairing beer and cigars, let's talk first about beer, right? So one of the reasons we wanted to do this on the show is it is fucking hard to pair beer and cigars.
Yeah. We're not the only ones with the problem.
No, no. I mean, like, you can Google this. It's hard to get those flavors to play right. So there are actually only two basic types of beer. So, and this is probably, I don't know, new information for a lot of folks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, your differentiating factor is the yeast. Of all of the beers that are out there on the market, there are specialty beers, okay? We're kind of going to skip those. We'll talk a little bit about it. But since beer is basically, you're brewing it by fermenting some kind of grain and whatever, and there's all kinds of things you can do with that, which is one of the reasons why the Germans had to introduce the purity laws, because what kind of swill are you feeding people, right? But if you're in the industry, there's really only two types of beer, which is ales and lagers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is based 100% on the yeast that is used, or the bacteria, the yeast,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeast. Yeah.
So ales are brewed with Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which is a top fermenting yeast that ferments between 60 and 75 degrees Fahrenheit. It allows for a quicker brewing time, complex flavors. Common ales include pale ales, India pale ales, which are different,
mm-hmm.
IPAs are different, stouts, porters, brown ales. So if you like stouts and porters and brown ales, that's the ale side.
Yeah.
Right? Which is bizarre because it's like, how is this fucking related to IPA? Well, it's the yeast. Lagers are brewed with Saccharomyces pastorianus, which is a bottom fermenting yeast that actually ferments at 35 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit. It has to be chilled.
Mm. Cold brew.
Yeah, lagers are famous for being light and smooth. Refreshing. Common lagers include Pilsners, Box, and then Munich-style lagers, which is what we think of when we think of lager.
Yeah.
Is Munich style. All right, so then, you know, what about specialty beers? Well, who knows what? Mostly they're crap. They might have, like, they might have weird ingredients, brewing techniques, fruit beers, sour ales, like... So a sour is made traditionally with, like, local yeast,
mm-hmm.
and it turns into vinegar, which is why it's a fucking sour. That is a mistake. Sour beers are a mistake. Do not drink it for any reason. Certainly don't pair it with cigar. And then, of course, my running joke is, you know, like, craft breweries that produce IPA, they just do that because they can't produce a real beer. They don't know how to make it not hoppy and disgusting, and so they're like, it's an IPA. No, you're just not good at it.
Well, now Johnny Midas isn't allowed at any craft beer brewery.
Sorry about that. Now, an American pale ale that I love is Todd the Axeman. Okay. Now, that is a good fuck. Now, I don't think it's available east of Minneapolis. At least it wasn't. And I think that's Alaska Brewing Company.
Okay.
No, it's not. What am I thinking? Anyway, it's local. It's in Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
But Todd the Axeman, fucking awesome. And that's a pale ale, but it's an American. That's not the same as an IPA. All right, so general, like some general beer tasting notes or whatever. You know, basically you only have those two categories, but there's some broad differences within those categories mm-hmm. and the yeast used. So you have pale ales, which include like amber pale ale, American pale ale, blonde ale, English pale ale. This is different from India pale ale. Right? And in general, those pale ale flavors go with spicy foods, savory foods, roasted meats. Mm-hmm. So think like Indian food.
Yeah.
Something like that. IPAs go with nothing, and they're mostly gross. Stay away from them.
Shit.
So pilsners, which, canceled. You know, pilsners originated in Pilsen, Czech Republic, which is why it's called pilsner. Light golden beer, malt, hops, and usually, traditionally, hard water. Ooh. Does make a difference. Dry, slightly bitter taste, low alcohol content, so good for summer. And, of course, you have American, Czech, and German pilsner are the three main categories. And they pair well with, like, soft cheeses, seafood, poultry, certain types of pork, like pulled pork barbecue, no, but like a traditional pork chop, sure. And then you have stouts, and your stouts are generally like American stout, Irish stout, milk stout, oatmeal stout, and oyster stout.
Okay.
Milk stout and oatmeal stout, if you like them, you like them. Good luck pairing them with a cigar. But stouts in general go great with desserts, grilled meat, shellfish, you know, rich food.
Yeah. Fish, and then you have fish and chips, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Porters. So, you know, a porter is similar to a stout. Porters originated in London during the 18th century. They're similar to stouts in color, but they have a crisper taste. And so they were made basically by roasting brown malts or barley. And so they have kind of a toasted aroma. And okay. Most people say there's a chocolate flavor to porters. Toffee, caramel. Yeah. So, of course, they go great with desserts. But also, like, smoked foods and barbecue tend to go really well with porters. Brown ale. To me, brown ale is beer. Like, when I think of beer, I can do a lager if it's, like, Yingling traditional lager, or like a real lager. Not anything by Budweiser, because they use rice, so it does taste significantly different from a wheat.
Why are you doing phase. That to your palate anyway?
Traditional Budweiser, not Bud Light, but Budweiser is a pretty good lager, but it doesn't taste right to me because it comes from rice, and you can just taste that it's a different type of grain. But brown ale to me, you know, it's brown ales are drier and nuttier. And, of course, they come from the other yeast. Mm-hmm. So, big difference. And to me, like, the ale side is the real beer, not the lager side. And so you have, like, American brown ale, English brown ale, and then just general, like, mild brown ale. Mm-hmm. Goes great with, like, more of your nutty cheeses, you know, a lot of your hard cheeses, red meats, barbecue. Kind of everything. Very versatile. You got wheat beers. So these are like light, sort of textury, minimal hop presence, usually has some citrusy tangy notes. And so they're great for like mowing the lawn beer with food. They don't go great with a lot of stuff actually, but salads, fruit, dessert that like a strawberry shortcake type of dessert, not chocolate cake, but like a fruit tart. Vegetables, seafood, that's about it. Sour ales, we already talked about, is a mistake. Skip it at all costs. that's around the world in 10 minutes with Johnny Midas about beers. And, of course, you know, I'm adding my own palate preferences and, you know, flavor to that. But that's kind of, you know, what beer is. And I think, you know, when I was researching beer, the most surprising thing to me was the real difference is the yeast. There's two different types of yeast. After that, you know, you can let your creativity run wild, but most people have preferences. You know, if you make a brown ale, you don't want it to be that special. You know, you want people to say, oh, this reminds me of fill in the blank, right? Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
So, with that, Angel, why don't you talk to us about how to pair cigars and beer?
All right.
So, here's the hard part. It's just some info I dug up because it's just difficult. This is other advice. So, the best, one of the things you can do is match the color of the beer to the color of your cigar. So, lighter colored cigars, more naturals, you know, lighter beers.
With the, I would say, with the exception of IPAs. IPAs tend to be light. They don't really go with cigars. They're so hard. They just don't go.
It's just too hoppy. Mm. So that's the thing. They're like triple hopped, and those hops make them very, very brittle. But, you know, so pair your lighter beers with milder cigars. So medium-bodied beers with medium-bodied cigars and darker beers with full-bodied cigars. So I enjoy Guinness with my Maduros, which is mostly what I smoke. I don't know what beer you drink and you smoke. What's your preference?
So I'll be honest with you. I very rarely drink beer with cigars.
Okay.
And when you're through, I'll tell you what I do, what my methodology is.
Okay.
Depends on what I'm smoking, though.
Yeah. And then try to get cigars and beers with common notes, like chocolate and coffee is. So that's easy with a Guinness, you know. Guinness is what? Super heavy and tastes like coffee and chocolate. I mean, it does to me, so.
Yeah.
I haven't drank it warm, so it might be a little bit different warm the actual traditional way. So an example would be like an Ashton VSG. And an amber. So pair it with an amber, what? Amber ale or an amber bock, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so I've had an amber ale. I think they're light, but they're good. I haven't paired it with a cigar, but.
Well, of course, a amber ale and an amber bock are two very different things because a bock is a lager.
Mm-hmm.
Saccharomyces pastorianus, and an amber ale is an ale. Saccharomyces cerevisiae. VCA. I don't speak Latin, dude, to get off my back. I see you silently judging me over there.
Hey, we're not, we didn't take, what, Latin?
Actually, I did.
You did?
I took. Well, of course, Johnny Midas took Latin and Greek.
Yeah. But, and then hops. Beers with hops can balance the strength of aroma with medium to full body cigars. So we already talked about that, but you don't want to over hop your cigar because the hops is pretty bitter. They're very bitter. So if you do like a triple, again, IPAs or triple hop.
Yeah, just go, instead go for like an American pale ale or something like that where, yes, it's hoppy, but it's not like an IPA. It'll just, the truth is like, it'll just kill the cigar because the cigars that kind of pair with that flavor are going to be lighter, a lot of Connecticut type cigars, and it'll just kill it.
Yeah, so that's what I got with that. Like I said, not much info. It's just too hard.
If you're thinking, if you've seen a session beer, do not. I mean, I don't think you should drink it at all, but whatever. To each their own. Do not try to pair it with a cigar.
Yeah.
It will murder the cigar.
Yeah, have you ever, you've drank the regular Land Shark?
I think so.
Those are like light-bodied, but like crazy bitter, in my opinion.
I don't remember, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
And that's a lager.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, yes, it's light, but it is like not light.
Super bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of like liquor, but it's harder for a liquor to overwhelm your cigar.
Yeah. You know most, what you're doing. Yeah. Most common with liquor is just the actual alcohol content can like kill your palate.
Yeah.
But other than, you know, like pairing tequila and vodka with a cigar, like there is no vodka that goes with cigar. Sorry to all my Russian friends out there. It just doesn't go. You can drink it and smoke it all you want, but it will not pair.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think tequila, I can't remember the last tequila I had that actually paired with a cigar.
Yeah, not to my knowledge. There's a cigar that had like tequila infused. I'm like, I'm good.
Now, I've had mezcal that paired with a cigar. That's a little different.
Yeah.
And of course, it was brown in color. So, but I'm going to go the other way too and say, be wary of vegetal cigars. They don't pair well with beers either.
Yeah.
So if you get like, you know, a sort of traditional Connecticut, like an Ashton White Label,
yeah,
dude, it's got a fucking bitter wrapper. It just is. And it's too bitter.
Or a Candela, good luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to the other end of the spectrum where your cigar is way more bitter than your beer.
Oh, we didn't cheers. We got a cheers.
Oh, shit.
And
cut this in.
Gesundheit.
Yeah. What the?
What is German for cheers? Fuck.
Should we ask Google?
All right. We are smoking the J.C. Newman Brickhouse Bricktoberfest Limited Edition Natural Nicaraguan Puro Pigtail 6x52 Turo with tobaccos from Jalapa, Condega, and Esteli. Retails for $13.19 here at Davidoff Cigars in Westminster, Maryland. While a box of 10 will set you back $177.99. And if you buy 7, you get a free Bricktoberfest 2024 hand-painted Stein ceramic. This is a high-quality drinking glass.
Yeah. It says Prost.
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 By the way, I could have fit 2 of these in here.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what this is, a pint? Pint Stein?
Yeah.
But it'll fit 2 of these fucking bottles.
Yeah, Sam Adams' truck is parked in the back, so we're good there.
By the way, pretty good beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes well with this cigar. I like the Oktoberfest has like some of that nutty baking spice sort of flavors to it, and it is sweet. And surprisingly, that sweetness really complements a cigar.
Yeah, it really does.
All right, so you were talking about pairing beers and cigars, and you mentioned, like, you know, about you can try to match colors.
Yeah.
Be careful of the bitters. Just IPAs, in my opinion, sessions, sours, they're straight out. They just, good luck. It won't happen. And then I mentioned probably also avoid vegetal bitter cigars. Mm-hmm. They're just hard to pair.
Yeah.
So here's how I pair a beer and a cigar. I look at the color. I look at, okay, this beer typically has these flavors. I research the beer. And I try to pair it with a cigar that I've already smoked and knows what it tastes like. I do a lot of Googling. And then I get the beer and I get the cigar. And 90% of the time, I don't like it. Despite putting all of that work in. It's just hard to do.
Yeah.
So that just is what it is. Now, contrast that with wine, where it's like, it's so hard to mess up a wine-cigar pairing. It's like, you know, I've got a Maduro and a Chianti. You know, okay, that's a little avant-garde, you know. But it still tastes good together. Or a Maduro and a Claret. Wonderful, you know. Ashton Estate Sungrown with a Bordeaux.
Fancy.
It just goes. Well, no, you can get good blended Bordeaux for, you know, $20 a bottle. I mean, award-winning. You know, it doesn't all have to be $200, $500. $1,200 bottles.
All right, band test.
Okay, band test. J.C. Newman, how'd you do? And this is a double band, really good looking.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, came off nice. By the way, one thing they did to secondary band or main band.
Same thing.
Nice. Came off perfectly. One of the things they did to pass the savings on to us, you'll notice the first band is just the regular Brickhouse band. Yep. All right, and then they put the Bricktoberfest limited edition on there. So that's one way that they can save money and pass it along to the customers.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, you guys want to be on the podcast?
Oh, no.
Well, you're welcome to join us. It is an audience participation podcast. We are smoking the Bricktoberfest limited edition Pigtail from J.C. Newman. Buy 7. Get a free sign.
Yeah.
Hey, might as well get something to drink out of. And we're pairing it with the Sam Adams Oktoberfest. You got some more beers?
Yeah.
You guys want beers? Yeah, yeah.
Grab
me one. All right. Let's top these off. Did you want some of this?
Yeah, I'll take a little bit of that.
Yeah. Good luck.
Oh. I was like, shit. I didn't know if you wanted the whole thing.
Did you run out already?
No, I have one more yet.
Stingy motherfucker. All right.
If I didn't know if you wanted.
No, we're good. I'm just fucking with you. All right. So, the slightly unrelated note. I'm not sure I like this cigar with coffee.
No. I tried it. Wasn't a fan.
Like, it's not terrible. It's just, I think part of it is that this 2C Premium that we're drinking is very high end.
It's too premium.
Well, the cigar is not. It's affordable. That's the whole thing with Brick House. And the cigar starts to taste a little like bitter and papery.
I didn't know if you wanted the deets on this beer or not.
Oh, yeah. What you got? All right. It's a Marzen. So, of course, Marzen is traditionally paired with cigars. It is the, German fall beer that you typically get. Now, there's a reason for that. And a lot of that has to do with when yeasts are active and stuff back in the day, when they had less refrigeration and shit. But anyway.
Losers.
And it's just Sam Adams ale yeast, so it is an ale.
Yeah. I wonder if that's proprietary, like that's something they engineered.
Well, it's the same yeast, but, you know, where it is in Boston, it's going to take on evolution based on, you know, where it is. So,
I wonder if it's tax-free yeast.
Yeah, it doesn't really say anything. There's really nothing on there other than, it's a fucking ale. It's good, though. All right, so I was talking about how I pair cigars. Most of the time, it doesn't work. Here are two things that do work for me, though. For cigars that are in the middle of the range, which this is, so I like naturals. Mm-hmm. My go-to is a lighter cigar. It's a Fuente. A Marzen typically will pair very well with them. Mm-hmm. And something that is more available to most people, a Yingling traditional lager goes okay with medium cigars.
Okay.
I say goes okay because it has the opposite problem of the coffee in the Brick House, which is, you know, it's an affordable lager, and it sort of, you know, tastes worse if you're smoking it with a good cigar.
Yeah.
Because you taste the cigar and then you taste the beer and you're like, oh, this is a low-end beer. Well, it's a blue-collar, everyday man, you know, lawn-mowing beer or whatever. But as far as the flavors go, it's fine. So that's kind of what I do. So, you know, when you ask what beer do I pair with cigars, it really depends on the cigar that I'm smoking. I really like Guinness, but Guinness is powerful, and it is both sweet and sour.
Yeah, and it can be very bitter, too.
It is, It's sweet and bitter. Yeah, sour is the wrong word. Sweet and bitter.
Yeah.
And so I only pair that with strong cigars.
Yeah.
You know, my Plasencias, my Padrons, you know, maybe like a Perdomo 30th Anniversary Maduro.
Yeah.
Or the 20th. You know, something strong. And then most of the time, I'm picking up a Marzen.
Okay.
So
the only way I drink Guinness, I'm not being a snob or anything, it's just literally the best way, is to get it tap poured. So I don't buy the Guinness bottle or can. It's just sacrilege for me.
Yeah, tap poured Guinness is different. In fact, they patented that little ball they put in the can.
Yeah, the nitrogen.
Yeah, like it's like a marble, so that when you pour the beer out, it creates the same head that you would get out of a barrel. Because they realized it was a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of cool. Beers that don't really go with a lot of cigars, black and tans, hard to pair. Any specialty beer is probably not going to pair with a cigar because they go to so much trouble to give that beer, like, its own flavor. You know, and it just drowns it out. Like I said, I got that Atomic Pumpkin. Jesus Christ. Like, I took two sips and threw the whole case out. It was literally the pumpkin spice latte of beers. I'm like, you know, like, just make a fucking beer that reminds you of pumpkin.
Woodchuck makes a pretty good pumpkin ale.
I've had some really good pumpkin beers, but all they're doing is putting pumpkin fruit in the fermentation process. They're not adding fucking, you know, whatever that packet of shit that Starbucks puts in their pumpkin spice latte. You know what I mean? So, and like I said, I'm not shitting on anybody, but it wasn't for me. I will say that. none of their stuff is. Their Voodoo Ranger is like probably the only beer I've had. It's a IPA, I think.
Yeah.
Where it was pretty well done. Now, I'm not a fan of IPAs, but it was pretty well done. All right, so, gosh, we're pretty far along, and, you know, I am leaving the second third. I think you're further along than I am.
Yeah, I'm entering the last and final third.
Yeah, so why don't we go ahead and go to break? When we come back, we will do our cigar news of the week.
And this cigar has changed.
You are listening to the dulcet tones of Johnny Midas and El Fumo on Burnline Podcast.
Currently raspy tones.
Sexy raspy.
Now your cigar news of the week with Angel Solorio.
News of the week. Unfortunately, Joel Sherman passed away last month.
Really?
Yeah.
How did I not hear of that?
It was kind of low-key, honestly, which was I get. It?
Yeah. Well, he was low-key.
Yeah.
Joel was a very humble giant in the industry.
Oh, by the way, for those of you who don't know who Joel Sherman is, Nat Sherman. Sorry, the Nat Sherman might have went on the wayside, unfortunately.
Oh,
In memory. Because...
Yeah, so if you're not into... if you're not a cigar nerd like we are,
yeah,
we did have the Ferry Otego.
Uh-huh.
On the podcast celebrating Michael Herklotz keeping the Nat Sherman cigar brands alive.
Right, which is the Timeless and the Metropolitan.
Yes.
Yes.
And Nat Sherman was the New York cigar brand. If you wanted, like, you know, New York flavor, style, substance cigars, like, this was Big Apple cigars.
The Great Gatsby
cigars. And also their organic cigarettes, which a lot
of
people...
Dude, those were so good. I had a chance to smoke those.
A lot of people said that.
Which were unique, because they were like, roll your own. You bought them, and you rolled them by hand. So cool.
But yeah, so, Joel Sherman... Is that family?
Is that guy?
Yeah.
All right. And then in other news, so I don't know what's going to happen. It may or may not. I haven't read anything about it, but it may or may not interfere with tobacco imports or just general operations because Milton's going to be hitting, you know, most of the headquarters for most of the cigars we smoke.
Who's Milton?
A hurricane.
Oh, Hurricane Milton is in the Caribbean right now.
Mm-hmm. It just went back up to, you know...
Category 17.
Yeah, Category 17.
Yeah, they're like, are we going to have to make a new category? Category 6?
It's pretty fucking close to it. Yeah, it's crazy. So anyways, the reason I bring that up is because a lot of the cigar companies are headquartered... The American cigar companies are headquartered in Florida. Southern Florida, to be specific. Tampa, Miami.
Yeah.
And that's, I think it's making landfall just right around that area. The west coast of Florida.
Well, so they say, but I've been tracking ever since Katrina,
mm-hmm.
and the weathermen have not got it right yet.
Yeah.
Where, like, the hurricane actually hits way off, hundreds of miles off mm-hmm. from the projected path, which it did for Katrina, which is why I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. How do you have a job?
Yeah.
You know, weatherman? Like, how are you so wrong? Now, I know why they're so wrong, because weather patterns are what we call chaotic. And they originally were able to model weather patterns with 6 differential equations in the imaginary number plane. Later, Edward Lorenz was able to simplify that to only 3 differential equations, which tells you what a fucking genius he was, because going from 6 differentials to 3, you know, like, you got to be one of the top 5 smartest people in the world to do that. Point being, since it is, you know, related rate calculus... in the imaginary number line, you can model post facto, but you cannot predict.
Yeah.
And so they will always, the weather guys will always be wrong.
Yeah.
And even using percent, like 40% chance of rain. Bullshit. They're saying that so that you dumbass can understand it.
Yeah.
Right? But that is not how we model natural chaotic phenomena.
Yeah.
So that's why they're always wrong. So that was a brief flash of Johnny Midas's 185 IQ for all of our people out there that are listening. Now you know why the weathermen are always wrong. But the point is, Milton could fuck us up.
Yeah.
That's the takeaway.
It really can. By the way, we're better at telling weather off planet than on this planet. Nerd alert. Anyway, so a new cigar company is coming So it's called Sir Passion. Sir Passion Cigars.
As in S-I-R?
No, S-U-R.
Like Big Sir.
Yeah, I guess Sir. Like the English Sir, right? S-U-R?
No, the English Sir is S-I-R.
Is it S-I-R?
Like Mr.
So, okay. But yeah, this is Sir Passion.
Sir Passion.
Sir Passion.
Like, is it headquartered in Big Sir, Montana, or wherever that is?
Yeah.
Where's Big Sir?
I have no idea. Never heard of it till right this
It's moment. one of those rectangular states in the middle of the country.
No, but anyways, this is it is founded by Asad Imatz and Manny Riaz, who are both work at Old Virginia Tobacco Company, based in Virginia. So they chained off and did their own thing. Their first cigar, the Sir Passion, is a 6x50 Toro, uses Ecuadorian Corojo wrapper over a Mexican binder and fillers from the Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, and the U.S.
Actually, that sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And it's made in the Tabacalera La Isla in the DR.
Okay.
So
I'm familiar with Tabacalera de Isla.
Yeah.
So Dominican Corojo, that's a good wrapper.
Ecuadorian.
Ecuadorian Corojo. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good wrapper. Better, actually.
Yeah.
And then what did you say the binder was? Mexican?
Mexican and Dominican.
Okay.
Nicaraguan? And
no, no, no.
Oh,
the wrapper? Is it a single wrapper or double
wrapper? Single wrapper. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
And it's Mexican?
No. Just Ecuadorian Corojo is the single wrapper. Just one wrapper.
And the binder is a single or double binder?
Double. Mexican. No, just the Mexican binder. Sorry. The fillers is where it's multiple.
Okay. So single wrapper, single binder. The wrapper is Ecuadorian Corojo, which is pretty good. Mexican
binder,
which could be good or could be trash. If it's San Andres, it's amazing. But if they didn't put San Andres, then it's probably
not. Yeah, this is a Mexican binder, so.
Yeah, sometimes they're hiding something there.
Yeah, TBA.
Yeah. And then what? Honduran and.
No. Fillers from the DR, Nicaragua, and the U.S. So I'm going to maybe Pennsylvania, probably?
Probably, yeah. So Dominican and Nicaraguan tobacco makes excellent filler.
Mm-hmm.
That's some high-quality filler leaf. Dominican filler is really, really good. And then, yeah, the U.S., I mean, who knows? You know, it's odd that they don't say. It could be Kentucky.
Could be.
You know,
maybe Virginia itself, because they're from Virginia.
Yeah, could be.
So that would be wild.
The two really good tobaccos right now is Pennsylvania Broadleaf and Connecticut Broadleaf.
Check out that stick, though. Like, it looks good.
It is, yeah. That's great presentation. I love that light blue color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, affordable, too. You know, we talk about them. I think they listen to the show. $12.49 a stick.
Nice. Well done. And that's
a Toro? Yeah, it's a 6x50. Yeah, so that's...
Okay. Good.
It's on course with...
Well, I will tell you what. Breaking into the cigar industry is fucking tough, so I wish them all the best of luck.
Absolutely.
Let's see if we can get our hand on one of those.
Lampert Cigars.
Lampert Cigars.
Right.
Why do you fuck that up?
I don't know, because I always...
Consonant, vowel, consonant, consonant, vowel, consonant, consonant.
The Lampert...
It's not like it's fucking Polish or something, where you have 17 consonants in a row, followed by the chemical symbol for boron.
Right. So, the Oro Kingpin heads to stores. Dude, that is... It's like, what is that? Perfecto? Obviously, they're going to say the size, but...
Lampert Oro... that just looks like a flying pig. For people out there that are, you know, somewhat familiar with, like, the Liga line, it's the same shape as the flying pig.
4x62 double perfecto.
Yeah.
Uses an, here you go, Ecuadorian Criollo wrapper over an Ecuadorian Habano 2000 binder and fillers from the DR, Nicaragua, and Peru. That's different. Peruvian tobacco.
Yeah, so I have long maintained if somebody puts Peruvian tobacco in their cigar, it's on purpose. So Peruvian tobacco, and I had the opportunity to smoke a Fuma.
Yeah.
It is salty and sour.
Ooh.
You know, now obviously it's not like, you know, a fucking fruit roll-up or something. You know, it's not like a candy, you know, sweet and sour, Sour Patch Kids.
So they're rolled at Tabacos de Costa Rica, so I'm not sure if it's in Costa Rica, maybe? Is where they're rolled at, or that's just the name?
Well, I mean, that's where that factory is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
18 a stick.
But it doesn't say if, you know, like, it's their factory or if it's somebody else's.
Right. And then you like my father's, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
So this is a little Francais sounding. You probably smoked this one. My father, Le Bijou, 1922, 100 años.
Le Bijou.
Le Bijou. Okay.
Le Bijou. It's French. Yes. It's not Spanish. That's why you can't pronounce it. Angel. El Fumo.
So it returns for the 2024 release. I don't know if you smoked it before, because it says it came out before.
I cannot find Sir Passion for sale online yet.
No. I have a list. I have a list. So if you would like to look for it, I will share that with you later. So J.C. Newman, since we're talking about J.C. Newman.
Hey, J.C. Newman.
Adds Diamond Crown Julius Caesar, the Troublemaker.
Who's the Troublemaker? Julius Caesar or the folks that stabbed him in the back?
Yeesh. No, it was Nero.
Whatever, dude. Don't get technical with me on the Roman Empire. We didn't even make it an hour, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't even make it an hour.
Dude, it's like, how can you leave the Roman Empire out of any conversation? Tell me.
So I saw this listing online. It was like one of those fake listings on Facebook Marketplace. Mm-hmm. And it was like this... it was like this baby thing, and it was on this spring, like an arm that folds back so that, you know, if you push it down, it'll bounce, uh-huh. You know? And they put it on their baby trebuchet. And the first comment underneath was, that is not a trebuchet, that's a catapult. Trebuchets have a counterweight.
Oh, my God.
It reminded me of our treasure trebuchet, where we use a catapult, not a trebuchet.
Yeah. The year's not over yet, by the way.
The year's not over yet.
I'm only saying that because, are you ready for this one?
Go ahead.
So, I guess... Nope. I think you know what I'm going to say.
Nope.
Don't you? Yep, yeah, you do.
No, don't go there.
Oh, yeah.
Do not go there.
I am going there. So, I'm going to guess this is Gurkha's final.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Year of the Dragon, but this is Oscar Valadares' rendition of Year of the Dragon.
What region? Because they only release these in certain regions. What region is that?
We're going to be getting it.
Okay.
So it's a 6x52 Toro.
And we smoked the Gurkha Year of the Dragon Ram Ramirez edition on the show.
Dude, that was so fucking good, though.
Okay, so I've got a story about that. I'm going to interrupt the news of the week.
We bring you this.
We had our Top Shelf Sip and Smoke the other week, and the cigar pack included the Gurkha Year of the Dragon Ram Ramirez, and I smoked it, and it was nothing at all like what we smoked on the show.
Really?
It was a totally different cigar, and honestly, it was very not good. There were guys that like put it out.
Interesting.
After an inch smoke. Well, so I suspect I wanted to share that because this is a common experience among cigar smokers where you have a cigar and you're like, oh, that's good. I like it. And then you smoke another one and maybe it's good. And I did from the same box. And then I smoked this one from a different box and it was terrible.
Hmm.
It was not the same cigar, but also it wasn't a good cigar. And I wasn't the only one with that experience. So if you're out there on the YouTube listening to this and you're like, oh, I got a bad cigar. Oh, you know, that actually happens. And you know, I'm not going to, shit on Gurkha, but they have issues with quality control, partly because they don't do any of their own stuff, right? Other people roll them for them. So that was a really interesting experience, and I thought worth sharing because other people have that experience as well. It's okay, perfectly normal, but that's what makes the famous cigar company so famous. Did you know the Fuente Hemingway came out in 84, I believe?
No, I didn't.
I was not of smoking age in 84.
Doesn't mean you didn't smoke it, right?
Now, I was advanced for my age.
Okay.
You know, by the time I was 8, I was chopping firewood to start a fire from scratch, mowing an acre of grass, upkeeping a garden and chickens and all of this stuff, and I had a gun. So, you know, we grew up faster back then. Was not smoking cigars. It's still the Fuente Hemingway. You know, and their ability to maintain that consistency is what makes them so fucking famous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I'm glad you brought that up because I had wanted to mention it. And I felt bad because I was smoking it again. And I'm like, how many people are going to listen to our show and pick one of these up and be like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. What were these guys talking about? But the one that we smoked on the show, I'm not going to lie, that was a fantastic cigar. So hopefully most of them are like that.
Fratello
DMV Maduro Selections returns next week. So apparently there was already one. Mm-hmm. And you're familiar with what DMV stands for.
Yeah.
Not Department of Motor Vehicles, right?
Oh, no.
The other DMV.
The other DMV.
Yeah. We're not near it, but we're pretty close to the DMV.
Demilitarized Virginia?
Yeah. All right. So the
DMV... It's going to be released on January 6th.
Yeah. So the DMV stands for the people in like the D.C., slightly north of D.C. area, the Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. Mm-hmm. That's what it stands for. Because you literally can...
The Metroplex.
Right. You can... Any direction you go, you'll end up in a different state.
Yeah.
So yeah, the DMV... It's a 12-count sampler. It's pretty cool. So, oh, like if you're a collector, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for this area. So, they're all 6x50, which is pretty cool.
Torpedoes?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, no.
Some are torpedoes.
6 torpedoes, 3 box pressed, and 3 just...
Parejos.
Parejos, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no disclosure of the blends at all for any of them. But it's not bad as a collector. Like, if you just want to collect a unique cigar, $132 for the box.
Box of 10?
Yeah.
So, $13.20 a stick. That's pretty good. And you might...
No, box of 12.
Box of 12.
Yeah.
So, 10, 11 bucks a stick.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah. And you might get a box discount. Maybe not because it's a special release, but... Fratello's are usually pretty affordable.
Yeah, I mean, Fratello's a great company, and if you're a collector that lives in this area, like, fuck, something that says DMV on it, all right.
What I like about Fratello is, you know, they're not high-end cigars, but they're highly collectible.
Yeah, they make some cool shit.
They're pretty good.
We smoked this, what was it?
The Lunar.
Lunar.
Yeah. Now, the only issue I've had with Fratello is with quality control.
Yeah.
I've had way too many, like, popped wrappers mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But super affordable, and they're just cool. Like, the packaging really and stuff. So, if you want to start collecting cigars and you don't have money to collect Opus X's, like Johnny Midas does... you can always collect Fratellos. It's just cool.
They just got a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Same thing with Viejo. I'm pretty fucking sure every Viejo ever is a special edition.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they have a cord line. I've never seen, you know, this Viejo comes out until it's gone. And then the next one. We'll talk about cigar collecting on a show.
We should, because they got a little bit for everybody.
Yeah. Next week, our special topic is going to be cigar podcasts. Right, so we're not ones to like, oh, we're the only cigar podcast, we're not going to talk about the competition. No. There's plenty to go around, and I listen to a bunch.
We are and the one.
Look, we're the best. We're the best. I'm okay. I'm comfortable with that. But there's other podcasts out there. I think that it is time to rank this cigar, and we are smoking the J.C. Newman Brickhouse Bricktoberfest Limited Edition Pigtail. And again, we mentioned, you know, just in case you're not aware, there are actually 4 J.C. Newman Brickhouse Bricktoberfest cigars on the shelves right now for 2024. There is the Bricktoberfest Natural, Double Connecticut, which is a Double Connecticut binder, Maduro, and Special Edition Pigtail, which is what we're smoking. And we're smoking this one because, honestly, it's the best of the bunch. This is probably the best... No. This is the best Brickhouse that Newman produces, mm-hmm. by far, this blend. But the other ones are out there, and all of them qualify. Buy 7, get a free Stein with participating retailers. And, of course, Davidus Cigars is a participating retailer.
Yep.
And this is cool.
Oh, by the way, you can actually go on the J.C. Newman website and sign up, because they have to give away as well, I think, legally.
Mm-hmm.
You can sign up, no purchase mm-hmm. necessary, so you can yes. get a Brickhouse cigar and a Stein for free.
Yes.
Maybe.
All right, so briefly talking about flavor notes for this: leather, light pepper, a little bit of squash vegetal, hazelnuts that kind of went away in the middle of the second third.
The bitterness did too.
That's it. Leather is definitely the heaviest note, I think, on this one. And then there's a handful of like baking spices, but it's like a hint. It really tastes like fall pastry-ish.
Yeah.
No sweet whatsoever.
It's definitely also, a fall stick.
Yeah, there's also no spicy. Mm-hmm. There's like baking spices, and then there is that very light pepper. It's not like a cracked black pepper.
Right.
But it's a like white pepper, almost. So any flavor notes, changes in flavor, Anything you want to comment on before we rank this cigar?
Yeah, like I said, once I got to that second third, exiting the second to the final third, all that bitterness, that vegetable, that squash bitter that we talked about, that went away. It's really smooth at the moment. A little buttery.
Yeah, I can see that. There's some kind of animal fat almost in there. Mm-hmm. So I think the beer went fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The beer went great. I don't think it changed the cigar much. I do think, though, I think the beer blunted the bitterness because the beer is a little more bitter. Yeah, that's about it. Good cigar. Again, it retails for just over $13. Pretty good for a special edition Toro. It's a 6x52. Of course, we have the Maryland sales tax on top of that, and then that includes the floor tax. I heard the MSRP on these is $10, but I'm not sure if that's accurate. That might be for the non-special edition ones.
Yeah.
So let's talk about presentation. We've got the box here for you guys to look at. I love the box. It is simple, direct, you know, saves the consumer money. It's certainly not fancy, but it looks very like what it should look like with like the brown wood, the Bricktoberfest in Gothic script, kind of Germanic Gothic script. And the cigar itself is gorgeous, and I love the fact that they didn't cover up the cigar.
Yeah.
I hate this trend towards putting sleeves and bullshit and big-ass fucking bands on your cigar. I want to see the naked tobacco.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm that guy that will take my bands off before I smoke. You know? I will leave it on if it's, like, a really fancy cigar and I want people to ooh and awe over it. But for the most part, I take them off before I even start smoking. Love that most of the wrapper's exposed. And I like that the cello doesn't really hide the cigar. It's a nice clear cello.
Yeah.
So presentation, I've got like a 7. You know, it's definitely better than average. You know, it's not knocking my socks off.
Yeah,
they did well.
7-8, it's just a classic. They didn't really have to do anything to be like, oh, check this out. Like, it's just good.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so construction. I had no issues, burned great, had a straight burn line. I didn't have any pinholes, you know, anything that turned in anything bad.
Yeah.
Didn't have any wrapper come off. When I clipped it, you know, it stayed nice. I just, you know, I kind of have to give it a 10 because I can't take anything off.
Yeah, I was going to say a 10. 9, 10, I agree.
So I'm going to go ahead and give it a 10 because we start with 10 and take points off. And we just didn't have anything, you know.
I only had to relight because we were yapping.
Yeah. The leaf around where we clipped it. Yeah, I didn't even have a tab stick out, so I don't have anything to take points off of. You know, good, steady, even burn.
I do have to take 10 points off because for some reason my cigar disappeared. It's bullshit.
The magic disappearing cigar. Yeah. I mean, kudos to Newman. Like, this is a very well-crafted cigar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of beer.
There's always more.
All right, so price at $13.19. Not hateful. Definitely not where I'd like to see this cigar at. Right? So, you know, for what it is, which is an affordable, you know, high quality, but you're not getting premium tobacco because they'd have to charge a lot more.
Yeah.
Or specialty tobacco. You know, I would like to see this in Maryland sell for like $11.50.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 12.
Yeah.
I kind of have a 7 for price. Maybe a 6, but probably 7 for price.
Yeah, I was going to say 7-8. It's not bad.
It's not good. We'll do a 7. Okay, now let's talk about flavor. So, I'm not sure that I would call this complex.
No, definitely not at all.
I think I would call it mid-flavor. So, it's got multiple flavors. They do dance in and out a little bit. But it doesn't change from the beginning to the end. It's all that no new flavors are introduced. Some of them drop off, pick back up, drop off.
Mm-hmm.
So I would call it a mid-flavor. And it's enjoyable. You know, this is not like a slap-your-grandma-good cigar. It's not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that they capture the fall essence in it, right? Without sprinkling Starbucks pumpkin spice latte. Powder in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a flavored cigar at all. So I would give it a 7 for flavor as well. Like, it's really good. It's above average. It's not in your upper echelons of 8, 9, 10, but...
I was actually thinking 8. I really liked it. It wasn't... I thought it was good.
Okay. Well, we'll give it a 7.
Okay.
And then experience. So here's what I think about this. Like, unfortunately, it's in that dead zone where it's like, it's just a little too expensive to be a dog walker, to go fishing, to whatever. It's kind of limited to special events, lounge, back porch, grilling, stuff like that. So it does limit the experience, but it's also not nearly nice enough to, you know, you could gift someone it as in like, hey, let's smoke the Bricktoberfest special edition, which I am actually doing. I'm sending some of those to Louisville for those guys. You know, it's a false cigar. But other than that, you know, it's not like, oh, congratulations on closing that deal. Here's your Bricktoberfest, you know, special edition pigtail. So it's kind of caught in the middle there with its use case.
And it's not available year-round.
It's not available year-round. And, yeah, the price is a little inhibitive. Now, it does capture the fall flavor, and I think if you're, like, where we are in the mid-Atlantic, it was 40 degrees when I got up for work this morning at Zero Dark 30.
Something like that,
You know, if it's, like, you're watching the sunrise, this is a great cigar. You know, like, it's, you got your sweater on, it's chilly.
Yeah, this is not punching you in the face.
Got your coffee. Yeah, you could do it as a breakfast cigar. So, again, I had a 7 for experience. Like, it's a good experience. It's just not, you know, it's limited, and it's not knocking your socks off, but it's good. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, it's limited edition, because if this was a core line, this is really, like, if it was a core line, hopefully the price would come down a little bit, and it's really close to being a daily smoke. Nice, medium-bodied. I do think in the spring it would be a little clashy. You know, maybe in the summer, it's just a little, like, it does taste like a fall-winter type of cigar.
It definitely is a fall cigar.
It's just that flavor, like, we associate these kinds of flavors.
Smoke this by the bonfire.
Yeah, yeah. So I think 7 is good, and that brings the total score for the J.C. Newman Brickhouse Bricktoberfest Limited Edition Pigtail to 37, so high 30s, and it could have been up to a 39 if we took your 8s in there.
Yeah.
So high 30s, pretty good. And this is available for a limited time here at Davita Cigars in Westminster and the other, what is it, 12 now locations?
Yeah, 12.
And if you buy 7, get a free ceramic hand-painted Stein. It's super cool. It says J.C. Newman trademark selected tobaccos Bricktoberfest 2024. It's got the tobacco farm on there. I think it's cool as shit.
Yeah.
It's got the little brick house thing around here, which is the same as the paperwork on the box. Well worth it. And, you know, for 13-something a stick.
Yeah.
And the non-special editions are a little less. That is a great deal if you like collecting barware like I do.
Yeah.
This is a great one to collect. So that is all we have got for you this week on Burnline Podcast. Thanks for joining us. And we will see you again next week.
Avita's in.